An awareness and a familiarity gained by experience or a fact or situation, the theoretical or practical understanding of a subject is what defines the word knowledge. We need to make sure that the knowledge we receive is in fact true knowledge. How do we do that? Well, we research, making sure that what we learn and what we are taught is in fact true. Why are we here today, observing the Sabbath, for example? How do we know that what we are doing now and what we believe is true? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 through 16 gives us that answer. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 through 16, we read, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, when this is referring to all Scripture, it's not just talking about the New Testament, but it's also talking about the Old Testament. So many who think that the Old Testament is done away with are wrong. So this is a good proof here, which gives us the answer, knowing that what we believe in, if we believe in the Bible, we know it to be true. We gain understanding, and with the knowledge that we receive through action, we will see results. And that's the title of my message, Result from Knowledge. Right? Okay, results from knowledge. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God to the world as a witness is a challenge. We educate through God's word on the things that many people do not know, that they have not heard before, or they have not yet actually understood before. They may read the Bible, but they may not understand what it's saying. And so, by sharing information that is true, they hopefully will understand. And we know it is true because the Bible is true. The Bible speaks the truth. That's something we have to understand and have to believe. Because we are also convinced of it, and we share this truth with others, we simply plant the seed, and we allow God to do the rest, as people will respond to his calling through our actions, which is why it is so important to continue on doing the work of God, because we never know who will respond. It's important doing this work because if we didn't do anything, I don't know, it'd be so easy for God just to call somebody. Because, I mean, how are people going to respond to a calling if they haven't heard anything? The parable of the sower is a famous parable, which I'd like to touch upon in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 10, we read about the parable of the sower, actually verses 4 through 8, and then it's the purpose of the parables, which he explains in verses 9 and 10, saying in verse 10 of Luke chapter 8, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Meaning, only the true servants of Christ would understand this mystery. But then he explains what the parable is meant in verses 4 through 8, where he says in verse 11, Christ that is, "The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. The devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. And we have seen this through our lifetime in the church, haven't we? Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. We have also seen that through our lifetime. This is difficult. There are many distractions in this world. Verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear it with patience. And that is what we are experiencing in the church, is a lot of patience. And we are tested with patience all the time. So we plant the seed and have the faith that God will turn that seed into a productive and prosperous fruit. And that goes with everything that we are involved with in our lives, allowing God to guide us and direct our paths. We can't do this by ourselves. Although we have a job to do in anything that we do, we have to start with something, but we have to have God direct our paths. He's the one that guides us in the end. What separates us from everybody else, from all the other religions out there that claim to be Christian? And I have been confronted by this many times when they ask me, oh, are you Christian or do you believe in Christ? Now, me simply just replying yes is not going to help, because then they give me a high five. Hey, so am I. But we are not in the same classification. We have to explain further. We can't just give a yes answer. Do we set ourselves apart from the rest of the world in what we believe, in how we teach, apart from all other Christian religions out there? There are hundreds of religions out there, and they all claim to be preaching the truth. It's amazing. And that's with anything that we are dealing with. You tell someone you're a Christian, but again, you have to be more specific. There are many things that we believe and preach that many do not believe. Another challenge that we are faced with is being humble. We proclaim what the truth is, and those who have an ear will hear. Matthew 11:15. We will be faced with rejection many, 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 many times by what we believe in and by what we proclaim. By them not realizing that we are trying to save their lives by giving them a chance to live a perfect life, to have a first chance to do that now. No one really understands that in the world. No one sees that, what we are doing right now. We're also offering them protection from the end time through, let's say, our standing watch programs that we have out there. And thanks to technology, the whole world can see that. It's not easy when we're faced with rejection, which is why we need to remain focused and positive, continue on, just like Paul did, just like David did, just like Christ did when he was on this earth as a human being. He had to go through the same trials and tribulations that we all go through. He understands what we go through. That's why he has mercy on us, and he knows that we will make it. But we have to continue on. Because the outcome of our actions in the end is very rewarding. The end result is what matters. But we can't just get there just like that doing nothing. We have to get through all the challenges first. And that's why we have scriptures in the Bible saying that there are things that are not impossible to God when things seem really, really rough. And believe me, I've been through it. When they seem really, really rough, God's always there. There's nothing impossible for him. And we have to understand that, and we have to believe that. We must remain humble even when we are faced with harsh criticism. And we are faced with harsh criticism in the church by what we preach, what we believe. Because that time will come when all those who we have been proclaiming God's message to will understand. And they will remember what we have told them. And when that time comes, we don't need to respond with, hate to say I told you so. We don't have to. We'll already know that by that time. Think back to your calling and when you were introduced to this knowledge. Now, I grew up in the church, but that doesn't mean I had challenges I went through. Yeah, I like to say when I was baptized is when my life really began. Before then, you know, I was getting used to it, but I mean, challenges didn't stop when I was baptized. No, they got even harder and harder, but there was a reason for that. But at that time when we were first called and when we really start to understand more of the truth, we were ignorant. Sometimes we still are ignorant because it never ends. We always learn. This is always a learning process. But that's where belief comes in. Do we believe that what we know is a truth? We sometimes wonder. There's so many things out there, so many beliefs we're confronted with. Someone will come up to us like, hey, look what I discovered through the Bible. You know? And maybe you may start to wonder like, that's interesting. I haven't seen that before. But that's where you have to be careful. You know? That's where you have to know what the Bible is saying and understand it. Do we believe that with all the things possible through God, or that all things are possible through God, if we believe? Unfortunately, many in the world need to see to believe. For example, you may have heard of this joke. It's a man that was walking along a steep cliff one day, and he accidentally got too close to the edge, and he fell. On the way down, he grabbed a branch, which temporarily stopped his fall. He looked down and, to his horror, saw that the canyon fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. He couldn't hang on to that branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up the steep wall of the cliff. So he began yelling for help, hoping that someone passing by would hear him and lower a rope or something. Help! Help! Is anybody out there? Help! He yelled for a long time, but nobody heard him. So he was about to give up. And then he heard a voice. Can you hear me? Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here. I can see you. Are you all right? Yes, but who are you? And where are you? I can't see you. I am the Lord, the voice replied. I'm everywhere. He said, the Lord? You mean God? That's me. So God says, now here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully. Let go of the branch. He said, what? I said, let go of the branch. Trust me, let go, and I will catch you. There was a long silence. And finally he yelled, help, help, is anybody else out there? See, and that's what a lot of people respond to in this world. I mean, I have friends of mine. Let's say, well, how can I believe in something I can't see? I need to believe in something. I need to see it for myself. And that's with other things, too. Well, I'll see it when I believe it, you know. Or I'll believe it when I see it. But that's how it is out there. But what did Christ say in John chapter 20, verse 29? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Also, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. These are scriptures we probably hear a lot of. All right. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is a strong confidence of that you hope for and will receive without doubt. It's very simple to read. But do we really believe it? Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligent, that is a strong word. That's a very demanding word. This is something we have to keep doing. It takes effort. The knowledge we have received has given us hope. And we offer that same knowledge to others because many people out there need help. Many people need help. And the Bible offers those solutions to the help that we need. Question is, will we respond? And do we believe? 1 Peter chapter 3. No. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. First Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 7 we'll be reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's not yet. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Have we not all been grieved by various trials? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this testing that we go through is for the purpose of success. If we are not tested with trials, we will not succeed. How will we know? How will we learn? And in verse 2 of 1 Peter 1, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have been given a knowledge, an incredible gift to understand now through God's calling. And with this knowledge we have been given, let us continue on with great results.